Our lesson this morning is Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40, section Hay, God's use of Scripture with life's events to produce faithfulness. Psalm 119 is all about the profitable use of God's written word, the Scriptures, with the Psalm being formed as an acrostic. That means each section contains a Hebrew letter that begins each of the eight verses in that section. These were incidentally used as a mnemonic device or device in order to memorize. Someone would yell out the letter Hey, and everybody would know what verse to do. It's like when you take a child through the ABCs, you say A, and then he goes through all the words with A, and then B, and so forth. And it was easier to memorize. Well, section Hey in Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40, reveals God's use of Scripture and trials to produce godly faithfulness. So I view this section for insight and edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into His Word. Father, we're thankful for Your grace. Thankful for the indwelling Spirit of God that comes into our hearts when we believe in Christ. Thankful for the way He ministers to come alongside to help us, to give us discernment, to discipline us, to lead us, to empower us so that we can live the Christian life and to serve the Lord. We ask, Father, for wisdom this morning to understand the word and then to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read this section out of the King James Version, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Section Hay, verses 33 to 40 of Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Okay, the verse numbering system in the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible, so we, of course, are staying with the English Bible's numbering system for this lesson. So we look at Psalm 119, 33 to 40 from the Hebrew text. Point out or teach. It's actually the Hebrew word yara, which in its basic form means to point or to point out. But in the Hifil, it's causative, cause me, to have pointed out to me. In other words, teach me the way of your decrees, O Yahweh, and I will preserve them to the end. Make me understand it, and I will preserve and observe your law with my whole heart. Cause me to tread in the path of your commands, because I have delighted in them. Incline, bend, this is the Hebrew word nata, my heart towards your statutes and not toward unjust gain or plunder or gain acquired by violence. Basa is any one of those. It's plunder or gain. It's normally gained by some ungodly means. Then verse 5, turn away, abar, that's causative, hifil sense, my eyes from viewing vanity. Revive me in your way. Carry out or fulfill, cum, your word to your servant that you may be revered. Turn away, this is the verb abar again, that was back in verse 37. Here it is in verse 39. Turn away my disgrace, which I dread, because your verdicts are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, revive me. Okay, we consider significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. In verses 33 to 35, the psalmist tells how delighting in the word makes him faithful to heed it. Everything in verses 33, 34, and 35 builds up to the last phrase of verse 35. It says, because I have delighted in them. So what we do is look at that phrase as the signal for the rest of the section. If he delights in Scripture, that's verse 35b, then God points the way that he should go, and he faithfully goes there, verse 33. If he delights in Scripture, verse 35b again, God makes him understand it. and he faithfully obeys it in verse 34. If he delights in Scripture, verse 35b, God leads him to take certain steps, and he takes them. This is interesting. The attitude that we have and how we approach Scripture is watched by God. And if we approach Scripture with a delight and we're looking expectantly for what the Lord would have us to know, God sees that attitude and he says, all right, we're going to work and we're going to clarify this passage to this person. But if we just kind of come at Scripture with a ho-hum attitude, God will just step back there and he'll fold his arms and he'll just kind of do a ho-hum as well. So there has to be an expectancy. There has to be a willingness to learn and recognize that God is about to teach me something. If we have that delight, God says, all right, I'm going to work and your Bible study is going to be very, very enriched. However, by delighting in the world, notice you add an L in the word word and you get world. Delighting in the world, one ceases to be faithful in heeding Scripture. Now, this is implied in verses 36 and verse 37, or numbers 4 and 5 above. Notice how he says, incline or bend my heart toward your statutes, and not towards unjust plunder or gain acquired by violence. In other words, bend my heart towards your word versus the world, the worldliness of taking unjust gain, and then turn away my eyes from viewing vanity. See, he has a tendency to view vanity, so he has to have God turn his eyes away from the vanity. The vanity in the context is the world. And then revive me in your ways. So, if a person delights in the world, one ceases to be faithful in heeding Scripture. So, verses 36 to 40 deals with the cure. And this is what is very applicable for our particular era in particular. Evangelicalism today is caught up in worldliness. That's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's rampant. Pastors are involved in it. People in the pew are involved in it. And it's affecting evangelicalism all over the place. And so Christ recommends that they buy from him gold tried in the fire, white garments. White garments is faithfulness. It's interesting, faithfulness to the ministry that God has. But these trials are all by slander, by facing slander and trouble. Guess what? This section actually deals with that. So positively, in the cure, the Lord may encourage a believer to heed Scripture by fulfilling edifying promises if he heeds and trusts God's word. You'll notice verse 38. It says in number 6, carry out or fulfill your word to your servant that you may be revered. So positively, the Lord may start off fulfilling Scripture, giving fulfilling edifying promises if he heeds and trusts God's word. He thus comes to revere the Lord for such positive blessing. But if the positive doesn't work, God goes to the negative. God may negatively let one face godless reproach that produces disgrace. This is where a person can slander you, or the person can badmouth you. This is an ungodly person, but God often uses ungodly people as whips to flog his people, allow his people to be flogged, so they turn in a hurry to get away from that which is bad. And that drives him to Scripture to find God's comfort and relief from the dreaded effects of this reproach. And that's why he says in verse 39 and number 7 away, turn away my disgrace which I dread, because your verdicts are wholesome. If we don't respond positively to the Lord's fulfilling his word in a promising way, then he will allow these trials to come. These trials will come up. They're very painful. They get our attention. And because they get our attention and we're hurting a lot, we rush to Scripture and we search through it trying to find out, is there an answer somewhere? And that's exactly what God wants us to do. So we get into the Scripture and then he provides his solution through his word. Now when he does it, there's this tremendous relax. There's this tremendous release. Now if we haven't learned the lesson, guess what? The reproach comes again and we get pained and we have to go back. Eventually we get the point, oh, I'm supposed to stay with Scripture all the time. Okay. So when you stay with Scripture all the time, all of a sudden there's this release from having to go through this flogging experience with the unsaved or ungodly Christians or whatnot. And then we learn to cleave to Scripture as a means of survival. This has precisely been my experience for 30-some years. The Lord has allowed untold trials to arise that have driven, because by nature I'm not a faithful person. I'm always the kind of person that's looking for grass on the other side, you know, of the fence. My favorite cartoon is a cartoon of a cow. It's on one side of the fence, has reached through the fence, around the post, and is back eating the grass on his own side, all right? Always looking for something else. And that's been my problem. And the Lord says, Don, I want you to be faithful. So in order to do that, we're going to allow you to go through this. So it's been a tremendous lesson and series of lessons, but I've learned them. In the end, the once unfaithful believer longs to read and heed Scripture, that life's circumstances might always be edifying, never dreadful, thus finding renewal and becoming faithful to heeding the Word of God. And that's where verse 40 comes in, or number 8, Behold, I long for your precepts and your righteousness revive me. So the lesson is, unfaithfulness is caused by delighting in the world, where faithfulness is caused by delighting in God's Word. A believer afflicted by unfaithfulness in this realm will find God work to nurture him positively to be blessed by heeding his word, and also negatively to be reproached by the godless to drive him to God's word in a force-fed program, making him faithful as a means of preserving his inner man from pain. Unfortunately, the lessons learned from pain seem to be much more potent than the ones that are learned on the easy street, but if we get to the point where we've learned the lesson from pain, then we can look towards the easy street where God blesses us, and then it's much better. So the application, the desire to avoid God's disciplinary measures of letting us be mistreated by ungodly foes to make us become faithful to his word in a force-fed program will keep us faithful to God, that we might always enjoy his nurturing help through his word. If we see God provide an encouraging nurture by fulfilling some Bible promise for us, not only must we be grateful for his edifying help, but we must examine our lives to see if he's starting us on a gentle path of directing us to greater faithfulness before letting the heat of dreadful trials drive us in earnest towards faithfully heeding him. In other words, if God pampers us and really blesses us with thing, that could be a warning shot across the bow. Okay, the Lord's indicating, I've blessed you and you're happy. I want you to learn the easy way. Stay with my word. Because if you don't, guess what? We're going to turn the heat up. It's far better to heed God's gentle, positive nudging than to see him let the godless mercilessly persecute us with reproach. So anytime we are exposed to Scripture, we should earnestly apply it in thereby staying faithful to heed God through his word. I'm convinced that every time we're exposed to the word of God, whether it's in a Sunday school class, whether it's in a sermon, whether it's in a Bible study class, we might be listening to the radio, for goodness sakes, and listen to someone who's been ministering the word that way. Or we might have picked up a tract and we're reading a verse there. Or we might have, you know, maybe it's our own Bible to study, whatever. Every time we're exposed to the Word of God is extremely important to God. That's his Word. He wants us to take it in. So what he wants us to do is really pay attention and have an earnest desire. And then things will go well. We'll be blessed during our Bible study and so forth. But if we develop, first of all, a ho-hum attitude towards the Scriptures, and then we kind of mildly ignore them. Not that we're opposed to them, we're just interested in something else. Watch out. Because the Lord loves us too much to let us just go off and do our own thing like that. His word is powerful. It is alive. I've had this experience many times too. Sometimes I'll get to a passage in Scripture. I'm supposed to prepare it for a lesson or message, and it's one of these passages that you never have had a Sunday school lesson on and you want to kind of overlook, right? And you wonder, I wonder what kind of a lesson I'm going to get it out of. Guess what? The Lord allows an event to come up in the life as I'm in the process of trying to prepare it, where it may be a trial, but it certainly gets my attention. It may not be a trial. And then I realize, oh my goodness, that's what that passage is dealing with. I'll never forget one time I was in Second Chronicles somewhere, and in the up in the 20s, or First Chronicles up in the 20s somewhere, and I saw a verse, and I thought, what in the world? I think it was for a Sunday school lesson we had here. What possible lesson can I get out of that? And oh, that was the worst thing I should have done. The Lord allowed a series of events to come up, and I learned, and it ended up being one of the most productive passages in my own life that I'd ever come across. So, all of God's word is inspired. All of it is important, believe me, and he wants us to pay attention to it. We might not, as we first start to approach it, we might not understand it. Or we might not think that there's a lesson there, but don't kid yourself. God in eternity past had his word prepared. And when he had his word performed and written out by his authors, the authors didn't know it, but he knew every single person throughout human history who would read that verse, when they would read it, and the circumstances under which they would read it, and that includes you and me. So, there's something there for us. This is why the Bible says in Hebrews, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It has that living quality about it, not that it's a person, but a living quality, because you have an infinite God who wrote it, and that infinite God wants us to pay attention to it. Another emphasis of the Word of God. If you look at Genesis 1, you look at the creation. God said, and it was. God said, and it was. Now with man, he went the extra mile and God formed him, all right, out of the dust. And then from the man, he opened up and he took the rib, and then he formed out of the rib the wife, the woman, and so forth. That demonstrates the importance of man and so forth. But God said, and it was. God said, and it was. God was emphasizing right from the word get-go the importance of his word. He speaks, and all of a sudden you have the stellar universe. We're talking about billions upon billions of stars out there, giant things. And they're in galaxies that are beautiful and symmetrical. And some of them, they have like a frisbee, they come out, and then one tail flips up and the other one tips down. And sometimes there are strings of galaxies, sometimes 20 or 25 in a like a necklace out there, way, way out in space, fully formed and so forth. And God just did that by speaking it. He's trying to leave an impression. His word is powerful, and his word is important. So he wants us to pay attention to his word. If we pay attention to his word, if we approach his word with an attitude of expectancy and delight, it's amazing how we see that God will work through his word to help us. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to you. If you have some questions or feedback on the lesson itself, feel free to interact. If there's something else that has come up in life, that's fine. Feel free to change the subject. We're not going to pin everything to this particular subject or this passage. I like utilizing our Sunday school period of time to address needs that exist. It helps to educate me as to where the needs in the body are so that I can more adequately minister to people. So feel free. If there's another area you want to deal with, go in that area as well. But we'll open it up to you for questions or feedback that you have.